From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Nguyen announcing show number 600 with guests Paul Randall and Kim Tripp. Recorded Monday, August 27th, 2018. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As episode 600.
Woohoo! 600!
This is going to go so far off the rails.
We were talking about possibly doing sequel, but we just looked and
fuck
you
that
said,
shit.
Oh, hey, shh. We just looked and you just said there are like 10 shows that we have done. We've done our panels at Sequel Intersection.
Twice a year.
We did show 200. We did show 400.
Well, those are mostly you. The panels are mostly you.
Oh, shut up.
Remember,
that is
folks,
so not
we
true.
We actually time her on stage.
Oh, that, you know. All right. Anyway.
It's a running gag.
7.5 minutes.
Yeah,
I think
that's
the
record. Yeah. That is a heck of an answer to talk for 7.5
Sequel
minutes.
Sequel is hard. There's, you know, there's a lot
shopping.
Of things on which it depends. All right.
Let's
sometimes
go yeah.
I don't just say it depends and stop. I say it depends and then I tell you the things on which it depends.
So she can say it depends for 7.5 minutes.
I know, it's ridiculous.
It's a special thing.
It depends.
Yeah. So my point was, I think they've heard a lot of Sequel, and yeah. I think they've heard you talk to a lot of people about
them.
A lot of other people.
Yes. Yeah.
And we don't know, well, we do. We personally do,
yeah.
But I don't think all of the listeners know Sir Richard Campbell as much.
What makes Richard tick?
Oh, God. I don't know what makes Richard tick. Everything makes Richard tick.
Yeah, that's sort of the thing.
Have you seen Iron Man? He's got one of these little kind of
the glowy thing in
the glowy thing in his chest.
I don't have the glowy thing in
his
chest.
Little reactor thing.
Yeah, the arc reactor.
Arc reactor, there we go, a little small one.
See? You have an insane knowledge of way too many things.
Not particularly valuable things. It's just
no particularly valuable things in a lot of cases.
And lots of nonsense. Like, for instance, we
oh my God.
Hold on. We just got a creature called an axolotl.
Yes.
From our daughter who went to college.
Yes.
What do you know about an axolotl?
Oh my God.
I know there's one directly behind
there
me.
There is one
in
directly behind you.
We'll have to post a picture of Frankie. Hey, Frankie.
Do you know any other facts about axolotls?
Well, they have external gills, which is remarkably
unusual. Oh my
unusual.
God. Can you believe this guy?
Yeah.
Where are they from? What country?
I don't know. Is it in
Mexico?
Is it Mexico?
Deep,
okay.
Yeah, deep
caves
water caves of Mexico.
Oh,
yeah.
But he knew
why they're
fact.
White.
He knew a fact.
Well, you can see them. The external gills are right there.
It's very much like a nudibranch external gills.
Yeah.
I mean, they even have the frilly part like a nudibranch gills.
Which, I mean,
but
all gills.
Freshwater.
Yeah, okay, but yeah, things still need to breathe.
That's true.
So, but.
Yeah, and how they breathe is really interesting. I mean, it's just, it's fascinating.
No, it is.
And you guys
cool
don't have
critters.
A bubbler in that tank. Like,
No. I mean, they're tank bred and tank raised, so they didn't take them out of the wild just to kind
of
get that out there. We're not a big fan
of
that.
At some point.
Well, at some point, sure, but now they're.
No, there's no bubbler because they don't like any current.
Right, of course.
Because they live at the bottom of very deep, dark caves.
And it's very still water.
It's very still water.
Yeah, well.
And it scares them when there's a current.
And there's light here. I mean, if they live in deep, dark caves, they're used to a lot of dark.
Yeah. But it
when they're nocturnal.
No. Frankie looks quite content, and we've had many conversations. And I mean, yeah. You know, for all of the interviews and so forth, we don't talk about the fact, I mean, we've been friends for a long time.
I was trying to think about it. It's at least 25 years.
It's, yeah.
For you guys? Jeez.
We met in 2003, I want to say.
Easily. Do you remember?
That's 15 years.
Yeah,
oh,
15, 15 years.
Oh, shoot.
Girl.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Do you remember San Diego?
You guys made
champagne.
Me drink before we started this recording.
It's
so.
All true.
And I met you in 2006.
Yes. Yeah.
And I guess they're right. 15 years. I was thinking a sequel being 25 years. Sorry.
My first recording ever was a .NET Rocks with Carl. Where they called me in my Microsoft office in Redmond.
Oh
right. We got
God.
You to call in, and we outed ourselves.
Yes, that's how you guys were outed.
Remember?
Yeah, well, it was really Richard and Carl.
And
totally
Carl,
ambushed
I remember Carl
me.
Saying, when
complete,
was
yeah.
the last time you guys made whoopee? As you just died.
Oh, my God. I'm dying now.
Well, I remember
actually blushing.
That San Diego Tech Ed 2004. You had that ridiculous suite.
They were doing nice things, and
ridiculous.
I had done very well in 2003, so they gave me this top floor suite, and it was the most rock star moment I have ever had in my life when I checked out, because I checked out the next morning after everybody was in the suite that night.
And we destroyed that.
I know. But I go to the desk. I don't know if I've ever told you this.
No.
I go to the desk and they said, did you have anything from the mini bar? And like this horrified facial expression came over me and I'm like, what does it cost when you actually have the mini bar? And she's like, maybe we should bill you. And I'm like, that would be fine.
You'll just accept the bill. Well, I was doing a talk at Tech Ed 2004 on SQL Profiler, because nobody else wants to do a talk on SQL Profiler.
You used to talk about SQL stuff?
Because I used to do performance tuning stuff, right?
Oh, wow.
And so it's performance tuning SQL Profiler. And it was Matt Nunn who asked me to do that talk.
I love Matt, yeah.
And he put me on Friday afternoon.
Oh, no way.
Nobody's there.
Well, this is what I said. It's like, I'm just going to tell dirty jokes. Like, that's all I'm going to do for the whole thing. But what I actually did, and I leaned on you for this, was that I realized I needed to engage these people. They were all tired because it was Thursday night. It was the attendee party. So I bought a little cooler and I filled it with ice cream sandwiches. Because they run out of ice cream sandwiches in San Diego. You know, they always pull out the ice cream coolers, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know where they get those. I think the coolers follow the conference around. And like at the bottom layer of this cooler they're like lime pops from like Dallas 99. They've been dipped in liquid nitrogen. Like you can put them in your mouth. You just can't get them back out again because they'll freeze to your face, right? And so they run out of ice cream. It was a big scandal in 2004. Of course, there was no Twitter, so nobody could really be outraged. So I bought.
Well, they could be, but just nobody would know.
Bought a case of ice cream sandwiches. I put them in a cooler, and I put them in your freezer in your ridiculous room.
You had a freezer in your room.
I did.
Shit,
why don't we have kitchen rooms like that now? Yeah. What the hell?
It was a very nice room.
And in the morning, I grabbed them and I took them to my session, and it was like, ask a question, get an ice cream sandwich.
That's right. I had the full kitchen, so I had that refrigerator.
You had
everything. Yeah.
And so I packed the house. Like they partied on in my session because I threw out a lot of ice cream sandwiches.
And I was hungover on a flight already going home at that point.
You were out.
Oh, we had such good times.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
No. Those, you know, the days when we all did the tech eds and a lot of us got to know each other and there was none of the separation of the IT pro and dev.
Yeah.
And that was, those were some good times. There's a great set of family that I think we've all made from that time.
Yeah. Friends that we still have to this day.
Yeah.
And there was this really interesting line that you crossed from fellow speakers
to friends,
to actual friendships, right?
And
I remember, you guys asked me to MC your wedding at a tech ed. I'm pretty sure it was in Orlando.
No, okay, just to be clear, we didn't get married at a tech ed.
No,
we're not that sad.
Yeah, okay.
We did. We actually met at a tech ed.
Yeah, 2006.
You met at a tech ed. And we were on the floor in Orlando. I'm like, I just come down the escalator or something. You two come running at me. And you're like, we have a plan. We have a plan. We need to talk to you.
Oh, yeah, because you know why?
That was in 2007.
Well, it must have been 2007.
Yeah. 2007?
Because my father was ill.
Yeah.
And we had already been talking about getting married, and we just went, we're going to do it this summer. And we figured all that out around Orlando timeframe, which was spring.
Yeah.
And so we were like, okay, our plan is this. And we need you.
Yeah. And your father, Don, and I got along famously. Like, we had a good time
together.
There
wasn't too many people he didn't get along with.
He was pretty awesome.
Crazy guy. Yeah, fun guy.
Yeah. We had, and that was an off-the-hook wedding, too. Beautiful.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's a tough gig, though, the MC for such pro speakers.
I think what was tougher was none of the family had said anything because
I learned
the first who was it? It was like
it was
Michelle,
like Huckabee, Brian
Michelle.
Randall,
Brian Randall, and Michelle will sit up and make speeches. Anybody else?
No, yeah, said no, everybody's like, I'm not touching that microphone. Exactly. Come on, yeah, no, I learned from that. Let the pros go last.
Yeah,
yeah, no, that's a good idea.
Let the family do the thing. Let the pros go last. It's not fair.
It was fun though. I mean, everybody had a great time. And it was.
I didn't.
As I recall, you weren't wearing pants, so how bad of a bad time could you have had?
Yeah.
That was later. Yeah, that was later. I wore pants at the wedding. I had to take them off later, of course.
Oh, my God.
You're blushing again, my dear.
I know.
You're
just like that.
How is it that I can get on this show that's supposed to be tech?
Did you even say who we are and who you're with?
No. Not really. I'll put it in the show notes. I mean, who doesn't know Kim and Paul? It's so silly, really. Well, and of course, you guys live in Redmond, and I'm down here routinely. Like at least
which,
once a month.
By the way, we're still not talking about you. You derailed the show to
He's
make
very,
your guest.
Very
he
smart.
Is.
He's
I've
very
done a couple of
smart.
Thousand of these. I'm good at it. Let me tell you.
Okay. So, can you talk about why you've been down here?
Yeah, sure. I mean, everybody knows I'm working on the book,
okay,
but I come down here.
I didn't know it was common knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. It's been out for a while. I mean, and honestly, like it's so much work. I'm enjoying it still, which means I haven't worked on it hard enough, but it's sort of the truth.
Yes, but your definition of work and normal people's definition of work are probably slightly skewed.
I'm with you. But even before the book, I was coming down. I would come down almost every month. Because talking to the product teams, like sort of knowing where everybody's at, it's just good for the shows.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But people kind of are back. I get this question every so often of folks who are like, wow, I was listening to your show when you talked about this and this and this. And then Microsoft made this great announcement. And now I know exactly what to do. Thanks so much. And it's like, listen, it's insider ball, right? Like the product teams learned a number of years ago, if you kind of tell me where you're going, I will make shows to prepare people.
Get people ready.
I won't leak your secrets. And sometimes stuff doesn't ship. I mean, that's sort of reality,
you just
right?
You like people's secrets like ours, like who we're dating.
Our actual life secrets.
Yeah, life secrets, yeah. They're out there. Now, I'm not going to do that. Product secrets I'm going to take care of. But in my mind, it's like we help everybody when we do this, right?
To help
people get prepared. When the announcements come down, they know what to do. Like it just moves the ball forward for everyone. And so my favorite place in the world to stay is to hear, right? It's like, if you guys are in town, and you're often not.
Yeah, we're usually not in town.
I think you're just saying that, so we keep giving you free hotel rooms.
let's get this clear. The room is nice. I even provide you with Dalmore whiskey. Whiskey, wine, yeah. Food. Yeah, I got a good deal.
That's true.
It's hard to be unhappy, but you think about the friendships in this circle, like the big line is we don't only meet at conferences.
No, that's true.
Absolutely. There's so many folks that you know when you're in this speaking circuit.
You only see them at a conference.
Never see them in their homes.
Yeah,
never,
that's true. Although it's still hard. You know, I mean, even
– you guys have only been up to my place a couple of times, generally for the big parties, right?
Yeah, true.
The 40th and the 50th and –
yeah, because when we get to the Pacific Northwest for us, sometimes we kind of want to be home for a week or two, but and then we fly out again.
So we're so sick of Richard because he's down here every bloody month. Yeah, I want to see somebody else.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, oh God, it's Richard again?
Yeah, but I'll tell you, the book has turned
out the
knob.
Bedroom is full, Richard.
Yeah. Well, I think it's your daughter's bedroom.
It's one of our daughter's bedroom.
Yeah.
Well, you got one off to university now.
I know.
You know what was funny?
We had to take that room back.
Kira actually said, can Richard sleep in Katie's room so I don't have to change the sheets again? I'm like, no, because he likes that room with your decor. But it's my room. You're laboring under the misapprehension that this is your house. It's my house, and Richard's my friend. But I'll change the sheets for you before you come down.
If she was clever, she'd switch rooms right now.
Oh, that's true.
You know.
But she doesn't like the orange decor that Katie
had. See, the orange was Katie.
You know, knowing how often you people redecorate, she could convince you to repaint that room anytime. Well, yeah.
I would kind of like to repaint their room.
I'll drop a note to
what kind of an idiot says to, like, a seven-year-old, which was-
whatever color you want.
Whatever color you want. Let's go to the paint store. Katie chose, like, freaking-
bright orange.
Bright orange. The room. You needed sunglasses to go in there when it was painted.
And then
Kira chose, like, this- aqua blue.
Oh, it's nasty blue, white, and black.
Yeah.
Richard likes it.
Tiger print or whatever.
You know, I am. By the time I get into that room, I am not
sober. He doesn't
notice
the decor.
That's true. I mean, this is why the Dalmore.
All the wine and the
so
whiskey,
far,
yeah. Right? So I just sleep there. I get up in the morning. I take a shower. Typically, I let myself out. You guys are not
that's
early
true.
Risers.
That's true. We're late.
Yeah,
late people.
You work
yeah.
late. And I go about my thing, whatever that may be.
Speaking of which, we keep you.
The
Richard,
book.
You are
the
really
book.
Good at this.
Have you met me? I have a lot of experience.
Tell us about the book. Well, why are you doing the book?
Is it yeah, actually, question. That's a really good question.
Because people don't make money from writing books.
No,
like superstar
and I'm
you know, it's a labor of love. Why?
Yeah. I got invited to the anniversary party for .NET. So in 2017 was the 15th anniversary of .NET shipping. And that was in February. And so
I work for Microsoft then.
Yeah. There's a Microsoft alumni group, which I mean, nominally both of you should be a part of, but it's
yeah, Microsoft
the
alumni network.
The alumni
yeah.
network.
We are part mm-hmm. of the network.
So the alumni network wanted to throw a party for the 15th anniversary of .NET shipping. And they reached out to, the existing .NET team and said, hey, we're going to throw this party. Da 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 da. Can you help us with money and so forth? They rented a pub. And they were, you know, it was a brew pub, it was this whole setup.
In Seattle or Redmond?
I Redmond. Oh. And so the marketing people from .NET contacted me and they're younger. And they said, hey, you know.
Old man?
Hey, old man, by the way, you know. we're throwing this party and there's all these people invited and I don't know who half of them are. And I'm like, well, send me the list. And I looked at them like, I know who all these people are, right? And we talked about who they were. And they said, okay, well, you need to help us with the party. I'm like, okay, fine. And so it ended up being a Channel 9 thing. So we actually had a Channel 9 crew. They gave me a little space in the back and I just sort of grabbed folks and we did a little happybirthday.net, right? And I, there was also a moment where I realized arguably I remembered better than those people did about what they did back then.
Oh, even the people you were pulling in.
Well, because they're technology people, yeah, right? Yeah, they've always worked on the next thing and the next thing and next thing.
And the current thing is the thing that's super – they don't necessarily remember that 18 paths.
And we want them to be focused on that. Exactly. Right? I mean, that's what they do. And I'm a professional – I'm just a minstrel, right? I'm just a storyteller. And so being a – I remember all –
you with a little lute.
That's it. No. I'll play the lute for you. I'm all in, right? But I remembered all the stories. I remember what they were. To the point where they're literally looking at me going, wow, yeah, I did do that, and so forth. We got all these little 5 minutes, and they're all on Channel 9. There's 20 of them or something, right? The little 5-minute nuggets.
Vignettes.
But I came out of it going, you know, if we don't write this.
This is a story that needs to be told.
We're going
to
forget.
Yeah.
That's what I'm more concerned about. Yeah. I remember, but most people don't. It's a great time to write it down.
Yeah.
And plus, .NET's in a good place. Like, we had some dark times. And so, we're sort of on this other corner now. Where things are getting better and, you know, it's sort of a bright light. And one of the ways to understand how bright a light is to understand how dark it got.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I think that's sort of the opportunity there. Now, as much as this show's already off the rails, I'm going to do the housekeeping part. So, Kim and Paul.
Do you think you're actually going to have a sponsor for this show?
You know,
Dalmore Whiskey is probably one of my
friends. Let me do the break, okay? Just give me a sec. Now, let's have a brief pause for this most important message. Windows desktops and laptops aren't going away anytime soon. They're still domain joined and non-domain joined. They're on-premises and always on the go. Policy Pack increases your Windows security for your on-premises and roaming PCs. Remove local admin rights, manage all the security settings in your browsers in Java, and tame Windows 10 start screens and taskbars. Got machines out in the field without the latest group policy settings? Then use Policy Pack Cloud or your own MDM service to deploy real group policy settings to those machines, only with Policy Pack. Get your free trial today and learn the secret weapon that hundreds of admins are using to manage and secure their Windows 7 and 10 desktops on-premises and out in the field. Head over to policypack.com to get started today. Policy Pack, securing your standards.
And we're back. It's Richard Campbell here with my friends Paul Randall and Kim Tripp. We're celebrating episode 600. Yeah, I happen to be down in Redmond. I'm doing more interviews to the book tomorrow. So we've had an evening, as usual, we've had a lovely feast of Indian food, and we have been drinking copious amounts, which is fairly normal for us as well.
Do you think the microphone's going to pick up me crunching an ice cube?
Probably, but Brandon will fix that. Brandon makes even you sound smart, man. He's good. Yeah.
I used to like
He's a magic man.
He is magic.
So that's the book. Go ahead, ask me another question.
I think it's really fun that you have finally been doing even more hiking and getting familiar with the Pacific Northwest, you know, like, and you have now have the cabin in the woods.
Yeah, so that's totally Stacy's idea.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, which I love. Yeah. It's such a cool thing.
He hasn't invited us there yet.
I have invited you many times.
He has. Yeah. We just never here.
No, you're not here. And I honestly, like, it wasn't my idea, right? Like, this was totally her idea. And I was against it. But sometimes you're outnumbered 1-to-1.
This happens to me, too. Kimberly has all these fantastic ideas. Like the TV.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
No,
that TV.
I'm not derailing this with the TV story I will get too irritated.
That is the greatest TV story of all time.
That is a good TV story.
All right. Hold on. But the thing that made me just love the fact that you kind of have this cabin in the woods is you, of course, have to have high tech. And one of the first things you did was you put Nest cameras out
everywhere.
And you ended up catching this, like,
sea otters.
Party
They're
of
river
sea
otters.
River otters. This party
it's not
of
a party.
Otters
it's
in your pool.
It's
in
a
your
platoon.
Pond. To,
like,
is it called a platoon? Is that the actual
No,
name?
It's a romp of
a
otters.
Romp of otters.
But that is not awesome. These otters were not romping.
Oh.
This was a military. That is a dozen otters. And I'm telling you, the sergeant went first.
That and was he was the watching most over the epic pond. Video.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
I loved it. And I just thought, this is really fun. And this you work a lot. You work hard. We all, work hard, play hard. But I thought that was a really cool thing that you guys did. And I'm loving that watching your
video. That's what inspired me to get
Nest And then
Nest
you
cameras.
Got Nest cameras, and we've been watching stuff in
raccoons.
Our.
We have raccoons coming through. Raccoons
through probably go through every day, right? Yeah. It's just normal routine.
No, it's funny.
I've now added, I have a beautiful clip of a bear coming out of my backyard and walking out to the front.
Oh, very nice.
But that's at the house.
At the house.
I've seen that. That's amazing.
To train the bear.
Yeah.
With all, peanut butter things for it to pick up.
He never stopped. He was just a steady movement. Right? It was a great dolly shot. We just pulled back the whole way.
Yep.
I use it as an open for a slide deck now because anywhere other than the Pacific Northwest, like it, especially the Australians, it stops them in their tracks. You know, the Aussies may have everything poisonous in the world, but a bear walking out of your backyard, they don't know what to do about that. It's the Nest cams. We've got lighting control. I have a 500 watt halogen bulb positioned on the corner of the lot now that shines down for the walkway. So you see, I call it the Eye of Sauron.
No, sorry.
Of light, course you do.
You turn that light on, you can see the future. Right? But it's, controllable from the phone. So
that's
just
awesome.
Click. It's
bringing high tech to the country.
Yeah, totally. We got some of these Nest cameras for inside the house, for when we're not here.
Oh, right, because you guys are away a lot.
So we can talk to the cats. Mm. And we have them in the bedroom, and so we can actually get on our phone.
Yeah, see, now that doesn't sound right.
On.
It's only plugged in when we're not here.
Yeah, we're not here. Yeah.
Let's be very clear.
You guys need a pet cube.
I have one. We haven't set it up. It's the one where you can put treats in,
treats
and you
in
can
it.
Talk on the internet, and then have a treats pop out.
Yeah, oh my God. And you can do a laser pointer. It's like if you want to play with your cats remotely, it's the pet cube.
Yeah.
If there's a cat thing, we have one.
Oh yeah, you have all
the crazy boxes and my plucking
Amazon
bowl
boxes,
foam. And,
oh, of course, all the cats care about is being able to hide.
It always makes me think it's like fucking something.
Paul,
it's a beep. It's another beep.
No. Pelican cases have this moldable foam called pluck and pull foam.
Right.
And you can pull out.
It sounds rude.
But only if you do it right.
It doesn't sound rude to nice people. Anyway, so you can pull
do
out
we have
these.
Any of those listening?
Probably listening, not in this room though. All right. So anyway, you pull out the little cubes and you can like form it for domes and different camera parts.
So that's what Pelican cases are about. It's your camera parts.
Yes. And then I was switching and remolding some foam. So I took the foam out and the cats just went crazy. So now our living room is like a bunch of old pluck and pull foam just laying all over.
It's like a bull pit you can't jump in because it's not deep enough.
It is. It's terrible. It's like our house is taken over by cats.
Your house is taken over
by cats. Tell the TV story.
Oh my God, the TV story. But this is Richard's time.
It's
although
we've
it
had
is.
The break there. It We're is. In a slide down.
All right, so.
It's not a long story.
The greatest vintage TV of all time.
That was a damn good TV.
Oh yeah. God. Okay, so in 1999. I got this rear projection TV, 60 inches, and it was a good TV, but by-
In 1999.
In 1999. And it had an HD option
right.
that we never had worked. Never We'd bought. Never. No, we had never bought and added on the HD option. So here we were in like 2014, 2015, and I'm saying to Paul-
I used to come back down here for the nostalgia of looking at that TV.
So Paul used to say to me, it's a Tuesday TV. It's a Tuesday, which of course, if they're made on Monday, they're usually not as predictable and reliable. And they're made on Friday. People are rushing to go home.
Right.
So his joke was it was a Tuesday TV. So it was great. It was solid. And it's fine. We had one TV in the house. We only watched movies occasionally. We weren't home all the time.
Right.
We don't need a new, 4K crazy TV.
That wasn't me that said that. That was somebody
it
else.
It was
no,
too.
No, I
it was
to
too. So finally, I started researching a new TV and picked all these things and found the TV. And anyway, we got the TV. We put it up. And there is not a week that goes by. It used to be daily, but there's not a week that goes by where he doesn't go, I don't know why you wouldn't let me get a new TV. We should have gotten this sooner. I swear,
lovely television.
If you hear about some tragic accident, it's justifiable. Let's
it's
just say that.
Related.
Yeah.
It's probably television
death,
related.
Television related.
Television fell on his head.
Kicked out of the truck at speed. Caused television.
The television incident.
Nice.
So what else can we say about Richard? Well, let's talk about all the places you have hiked and walked and visited. Because peak bagging, you're not really, you're not a crazy peak bagger.
Forte was always the peak bagger, yeah. But he talked me in,
He talked you into some crazy
things. I've done Kilimanjaro with him, yeah, twice. Just once. Once,
you've
once
done
was
Everest
enough.
Base Camp.
Been to Everest Base Camp, yes, that's true. Okay. With Stevie, and I've actually been to Dimpal four times with him. So the Everest Base Camp was the first one, which is just, I mean, it's a long walk uphill. It's a lot, but totally worth it. But we enjoyed the Sherpa that we worked with so much. And he worked with
Nigma,
much
right?
Nima.
Nima. Nima. Okay. I have only seen him on Facebook.
Nima and Pemba. And so when Stacy decided she wanted to go, we went back, but we went to their village. We went to Shangri-La.
Right, you did the school.
Yeah,
with
we
like
worked
Kathleen
on the school.
And
that's right.
People.
And
yeah.
Kathleen Dollar came with us, and we actually helped build a library in the school, all of which got destroyed in the earthquake in 2016.
Oh.
It's fine. We raised a lot of money. They've rebuilt everything. Oh. Like, actually, I'll tell you, that experience really taught me the trouble with charitable tourism. So listen, like those buildings were built by local people, and they had chased those local carpenters and things away because the tourists were in town. We were supposed to bang a few nails in and, you know, carry on for a week, and then they would continue on, and we would drop our supplies off and so forth. Now, because I'm me, I brought my general contractor with me.
As one does.
As one does, right? And so, and Roger was absolutely, the guy who built my house, right? And I convinced him that Nepal's going to be a gas. He totally agreed and had a wonderful time. So, in the 3 days that we were actually on the site or the school, because I have this professional with me,
yeah.
We actually built the library in 3 days. Like, he spent one day measuring and planning and looking through the materials, the next day cutting the entire day, getting everything prepped.
Measure twice, cut once.
And the third day, we hammered everything up. And it's like, we put up all the walls in the library. We put up all the shelving in the library. We put benches in. Like, we weren't supposed to get anything done.
Wow.
That's what, you know, most of this touristy charity stuff is really about get your money, go through the thing. And that's the thing. There was perfectly competent people that were there. This was, from a fiscal responsibility point of view, it was stupid. For what we spent to go there, like,
oh, you'd be better just sending the money.
Send them the money and take your portion and go to Cancun and drink margaritas for a week.
Right.
And send the rest to them. Right. They'll build more, do more. Like, it's more sensible. And when, for better or worse, after the earthquake, when all that stuff got leveled,
that's what happened. Right?
All of our friends got together and we contributed money in, and the local teams built a better school and a better library, and they saved all the books, and, you know, we were better off, right? So as I got involved with more charity stuff with Humanitarian Toolbox and so forth, that this weighed heavily on my mind. Like, yeah. there's efficient charity and there's inefficient charity.
Interesting.
And so you really got to think about, you know, how are you really benefiting people all around on all those things?
That's a great point.
Yeah. And so I loved my time in Shangba. It was nice to see the village. It was great to have Stacy along and to have those experiences with us. The two other treks that I've done there, one of them was we got an opportunity to go to Lo Mun Tang. And so Lo Mun Tang is the town closest to Tibet. This is the route that the Dalai Lama took when he escaped from Tibet,
when the Chinese took it.
And it's a restricted area. It's very ecologically delicate. And so there's a lottery. And the Sherpa, the Nima and Pemba, the folks we go with, we've always gone with, had been entering the lottery for years and years and never ever got passes to go up there. And the first time, though, and the only time they got them,
they called you.
They called us. And so we all went, and Joel Semeniak joined us as well. It was a very small group. It was about six. And so you were basically hiking through high desert, and each day you'd go down into a valley that had a little bit of water that had a little village in it. And so we'd stay in the village, and then we'd go to the next one, and we'd go to the next one. It was very hard work, but the archaeological significance, like this, what I saw there doing that particular trek was sort of the evidence that the Sherpa, which are really Nepalese and Tibetans, they're Mongols. They're originally from further north, and they're quite a violent people. And
right.
So the history of that violence and that warfare is from 1,000 years ago is there. And then as Buddhism moved through, it changed. And they largely don't want to talk about that, but the evidence was all there, and we kept seeing it on this hike. And it wasn't until we actually got to Lo Mun Tang and we were able to go to the Royal Palace, and we were able to see the museums and sort of look around. And then I sort of put, I was able to see all the pieces and go, ah, I see what happened here. Like, this is a society transformed. And you're sort of, this is the root of all of that was in this part of the world. So, yeah, it gave me, I really appreciated, it's like, people change. And what is this, what does a cultural shift look like? It takes 100 years.
Yeah.
And so the evidence is there. And then we went back again in 2014. We did Annapurna, sort of classic hike in the, up to the Annapurna. And again, Stacy came along. And we went up to Annapurna Space Camp, which is, it's a good long walk. But for that, by 2014, they had Wi-Fi all the way.
No way.
You were online. Oh, we are at the top end of the Annapurna Valley. Like, the summit is over there, and we're at the base camp.
That's ridiculous.
So you can still really order an Uber. I mean, it won't come, but you can order one.
Wow.
Yeah, those are a good set of tracks. Like, they've been a great experience. Ah, I'm probably due to go back. But.
No, and, you know, you just make me think about a lot of the things that you've done or influenced kind of ecologically or even just for conservation. Like, when we did the elephants back in...
Oh, right. And Tech Ed Asia.
Kuala Lumpur.
In Kuala Lumpur. And we had that elephant reserve.
2004, yeah.
Oh, I did that for several years.
I know. And we brought in some tech for them.
Well, every time. And it was Tim Huckabee that actually drove that.
Huckabee sent me a photo of you on an elephant before we got married and said, are you sure you want to marry this woman?
That's because the guy was sitting there with this, like, cigarette hanging from his mouth. He had his hand on my thigh.
Yeah. He's keeping you from falling off.
Yeah.
So I remember Mentopian, who was the bigger female. She was younger than the working elephants, but she was the one we would ride. And I was
go into the river.
And she would dive into the river.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you're riding on this elephant. There's two or three of us on the elephant at the time. And she would walk into the river, and at a point, she would literally dive. So you'd go sailing off this elephant. You'd land in this sort of murky water. And I'm underwater. I'm thinking, you know, there's an elephant around here somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you come up. You can't see the elephant.
Yeah.
And it's still down there.
So what she's doing is she's lying on her side in the gravel in the river, and she's snorkeling.
Around or something?
She loves it.
Yeah.
And she's literally would put her trunk up, take a breath, and go back down. So she's just laying there. And so we'd have to find her under the water, and then you'd take the wire brushes to her. Like, you give her a scrub.
Oh, I see.
Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. One of the trips, and I don't know if you were on this particular trip, there was this French guy, and somehow he had offended Mentopian.
Okay, I don't remember that. So,
every time Mentopian would snorkel,
but it makes sense.
Just she would pick up a mouth. She would pick up a trunk full of gravel, and she'd blast this guy.
Oh my god!
And like literally, like bam, he would be covered in muck and gravel, and then he'd move to a different location, and she like the elephant's underwater the whole time. The snorkel comes up again, blasts him again. Hit him three times before he got the hint. You should get out of the river.
Yeah, might want to step further away.
At some point, I'm looking at Steve like, what the heck did he do
right. To
upset this elephant quite this much?
There's amazing stories of animals getting just their knickers in a twist with some person or something.
So do you remember Mawar Ellis? It was the little male. He was like a two-year-old the first time I met him. And he mugged me for my water bottle.
I do remember that because he was really handsy with his trunk.
Oh, no. He was, he's in your pants and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So he steals.
Like searching in pockets.
Oh,
and, yeah.
So he steals my 1 liter water bottle. It's a jungle, right? It's flipping hot. He steals my 1 liter water bottle from me, wrestles it out of my hands, unscrews the top, drains the whole thing in his trunk, throws the bottle at me, shoots the water in his mouth, and then runs away from me with his trunk up and his tail. I'm like, the next year I come back, he spots me from the crowd, rams me, like knocks me over, takes my water bottle, does it again.
No way.
Wow. The next year I come back, and now I'm ready. Now I'm no longer shy.
You have a camel pack, right?
Well, I've spent a couple of years now. I've done elephants a few times. I'm no longer afraid. It's like, and he's bigger. So as soon as I saw him, like, you bastard. And I got my water bottle, but now I'm not like, ooh, it's the animal, be careful. I'm like, I'm taking this thing on. I come straight at him. He plows me, just sends me sailing and then walks over almost sort of sad because I'm laid out like gasping for air, takes my water bottle, drains it, bops me on the head with my bottle and drinks it again.
Like, nice try.
Right. And then they had, the problem is the males mature, they get really aggressive.
Right. Yeah,
and then
that's they when they have issues.
The next year he's gone. And but it's like elephants remember, man. Like it's extraordinary.
They definitely do.
Yeah. It was a ton of fun.
Yeah. That was a cool experience. but I remember it being very hot. And I remember that collectively, like Brian Noyes, Huckabee, you, me, I feel, oh, Malik was with us.
Malik came in. Almost certainly Forte.
I don't think he was
He might have missed
there
one.
That one. But I remember just this photo of the group of us dripping in sweat and like so unattractive. And yet we had so much fun. Oh, Gökçen was there too.
And Gökçen. Yeah. That was the whole crowd of us.
God, good times.
I don't know. It's 35 minutes. That's a show, for better or worse.
We didn't say anything technical at all.
No, that's a lot. It's the 600th show.
600th show. I think they can have a half an hour of non-techie goodness and learn a little bit about Richard.
So I haven't missed a Wednesday since we started in April of 2007. It's been every single Wednesday for,
seriously.
Every single Wednesday for more than 11 years. And
pretty impressive.
Couldn't do it without listeners. Like, I really don't feel like I'm shouting into the void. I get
no. I mean, emails come up to us at every show.
Same thing with blogging and stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah. Emails. They come up to us at the show and they're like, "Oh, I listened to that show and I heard about this, that, and I love it. I think it's great." Yeah. I mean, the listeners are the whole point of why we do this.
Yep. It's crazy to realize how long it's just been a part of my life. It is reflex. I think about what I'm going to work on next, what the topics are. Like, it's just a complete part of our cadence. And I'm grateful to you two for being a part of it literally for almost the entire.
We love you, man.
Yeah. Your first show was in 2007. Like, you were in on the first year.
34.
Yeah.
Within the first year. So here we are 11, 12 years later.
And we're still friends.
Yeah. Somehow we put up with each other.
Yes.
I can't wait till 11 or 12 years from now to talk about more adventures. I mean, we've gone on vacation together.
Yes, we have.
We've done a lot. And I think there's a lot more for us to.
A few weddings. Well,
we still have your R up on the rooftop.
You do, yeah, the R.
For my 50th birthday, my wife spelt out my name in giant letters.
Like 4-foot letters.
Yeah, 4-foot letters. And you guys stole an R. Well,
I stole the R. That start was the one I got.
Yeah. And there's at least one photo of you wrestling with it in bed, which is disturbing.
There is. I have clothes on, though.
Yeah. Well, and it travels down to Redmond because it had to cross the border.
Yeah. That's true.
How did you get that R across the border? Did he explain that?
They didn't care.
They didn't see it in the back.
It's just an R.
We looked pretty, reasonable. Yeah, so they just let us
pass. So here it is. It's the only, the less the letters are gone. So you.
I know, because Stevie let us down.
What was funny was going up into Canada for his birthday party. Mm-hmm. We said, "We're going to a birthday party." And he's like, "What are you bringing? What is a present?" And we said, "We're not." And he's like, "That's a bit strange. Are you sure?"
But weren't we?
I got him a bottle of whiskey. Remember, I got him like a 25-year-old bottle of Dalmore. But I didn't give it to him then. I'd given it to him at the... Did I?
Yeah, no, we had it. And I think they gave us crap for bringing alcohol.
Oh, it was Stacey's birthday party.
Oh.
Where we didn't have... the year before.
Yeah, Stacey's birthday party. Because it was the Manta that we had shipped.
Oh, and the Manta.
Not a real Manta. Listen.
Oh, yeah. No. It's a little... it's a lovely carved Manta ray. It's on our mantelpiece.
A whole 18-foot wide Manta Baristi. No. That's going to take a lot of UPS money.
Yeah.
They should not be sending fins. Don't get me started.
No, I meant the whole one.
They're it's not the point.
I know.
Anyway, you're right.
This is the when longest we got wrap to the border, the
we got to the border and they said, "What are you bringing?" Yeah. And we didn't have a present. And they actually really gave a tip. They're like,
"You're lying.
Why are you going to a birthday party without a present?" And I'm like, because
we shipped a wooden manta or something from Indonesia to her.
And I think there was something weird about it.
He didn't trust us.
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trust you.
Yeah. We looked pretty dodgy, I guess.
Yeah, you're sketchy.
But for your party, I don't think they gave us crap.
No, you can produce a $25-year-old bottle of booze. It's like close enough. Good enough. Thanks very much.
Yeah, they don't care. Especially if it's only one or two bottles.
Nice. Well, we drank them all. Goodness knows.
I do think we did.
Yeah.
We've got some more to drink tonight, too.
Yes, we do. Yeah. So let's wrap this thing up so we can carry on drinking.
There you go. Friends, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks, you guys. We love doing it.
And for everyone who's listening, thank you again for listening to the show. Couldn't do without you. And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.